Thank you. Good morning. I've dropped my bookmark. There we go. Right, the reading this morning comes from the New Testament, the first book of Peter, chapter 1, verses 1 to 9. Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to God's elect exiles scattered throughout the provinces of Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, Bithynia, who have been chosen according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, through the sanctifying work of the Spirit, to be obedient to Jesus Christ and sprinkled with his blood. Grace and peace be yours in abundance. Praise be to God the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade. This inheritance is kept in heaven for you, who through faith are shielded by God's power until the coming of the salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time. In all of this, you greatly rejoice, though now, for a little while, you may have had to suffer grief in all kinds of trials. These have come so that the proven genuineness of your faith, of greater worth than gold, which perishes even though refined by fire, may result in praise, glory, and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. Though you have not seen him, you love him. Even though you do not see him now, you believe in him and are filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy. For you are receiving the end result of your faith, the salvation of your souls. This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ.
Good morning, church. Good morning. Let's pray together. Lord Jesus, we thank you for your word. We thank you that your word is truth. We thank you that your word is living and active. And I pray that by the power of your Holy Spirit, you would bring revelation that leads to transformation. That you'd speak to us now and have your way in us and through us. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, James is right. We are yet to really be spotted together in a clerical collar and in smart clothes. Although if you were at the cathedral earlier this week, you would have spotted James and I suited and booted for the chrism mass service at Chichester Cathedral. That was my first chrism mass. Anyone here know what a chrism mass service is? James and I are interested to find out. No, I'm joking. A chrism mass service traditionally is where you receive oils of anointing as priests, and it's also where you recommit yourself to your ordination vows. And that part of the service was actually incredibly moving as we reminded ourselves as priests in God's church just what we signed up to when we followed this calling. And I want to say that all of us are priests in the church of God. Amen. We are all priesthood of all believers. Everyone has a part to play. I did have a slight panic when I saw James in his collar this morning. I thought, oh no, Bishop Martin's coming and no one's told me. That was my initial reaction, but we're okay. I was smart last week, so we'll wait another year now till I put the collar on. We've already said it once this morning. If we can have our next slide. Thanks, Andrew. I would love us to say the Easter greeting again together. Can we say this again together, friends? So Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And friends, today we remember and we celebrate the remarkable resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. I don't know about you waking up this morning, the air felt full of hope. What a beautiful day. Today we remember that death does not have the final say. Today we remember that the stone has been rolled away. Today we remember, here's some Latin for us, that Jesus Christ is Christus Victor. Shall we try saying that together? It's a bit pointless because no one actually speaks Latin anymore, but we're going to do it anyway. Christus Victor. Does anyone know what that means? Christ the Victorious, or Christ the Conqueror. Today we remember Christ the Conqueror, who in a triumph far greater than William the Conqueror's victory in the Battle of Hastings, fought the ultimate battle against Hades, death, sin, shame, and disaster, and won. Today we remember that Easter Sunday is Resurrection Day. Resurrection Sunday. And we remember that there is hope because of Jesus. And what of this hope? If you have a Bible with you, do please keep it open to our text in 1 Peter 1. What of this hope? Well, Peter tells us that this hope is a living hope, which we are born into through the great mercy of God and through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Now, if you're here today, if you're a resurrection skeptic, then I want to say, look around. Look around. There are many people here who are embodying proof of the resurrection by getting out of bed this morning and getting to church on time. If you're a resurrection skeptic, then look around. Last week, it was wonderful to have Bishop Ruth Bushiega with us, and to be reminded of the subversive and eternal power of God and of God's kingdom, in contrast to the coercive and fragile powers of this world. And right here in 1 Peter 1, we see the extraordinary power of God laid out by Peter in his beautiful prose, which is essentially a long, flowing, and heartfelt song or prayer of praise and worship, addressed to his heavenly Father and designed to bless God. I always find it fascinating that we can bless God, don't you? God who blesses us, but we can bless God. And we see this song of praise starting in verse 3, where Peter writes this: "Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ," as a preface to all that follows. Now, I don't know if you've ever tried to write out a long paragraph of praise. I don't know if you've ever written a poem of worship or thanksgiving. Perhaps you might want to try that later this afternoon or this week at some point, or over the next few days. And in the opening two verses of 1 Peter, we see Peter's introduction and greeting, customary of letters at the time. Now, for context, scholars estimate that Peter wrote his first epistle around AD 62 to 63, during the reign of Nero. And Nero was not a cozy coffee chain. Nero was a bad guy. As we read these verses, we see in verse 1 that Peter addresses his letter, look at what the text says, to God's elect, to exiles scattered. Now, much ink has been spilled by commentators in unpacking exactly what Peter means and exactly who Peter might be addressing his letter to. But I agree with the idea put forward by theologians such as Scott McKnight, who suggests that the elect, in this instance, are all those people who are beneficiaries of God's grace. All those people who are beneficiaries of God's grace and who were also scattered throughout the Roman province of Asia Minor, which is modern-day Turkey. So Peter is addressing his letter to everyone who has benefited from the grace of God. And to all those believers, all those followers of the way who are scattered throughout the province of Asia Minor. And if indeed this is true, if indeed this is who Peter is addressing his letter to, then actually, friends, what we have here is a circular letter written to several churches, to several church communities, and the implications of this are huge. The implications of this are huge because all of these scattered exiles, all of these scattered beneficiaries of the grace of God would have spanned the entire social spectrum, would have spanned both ends of the class and social standing spectrum, as well as being in various geographical locations. Essentially, what Peter is telling us, his readers, is that God's salvation is far-reaching. It's not just for the Jews or for a select or a privileged few. God's salvation is for everyone. Peter's letter is addressed primarily to the Gentiles, to those non-Jewish believers and followers of Jesus. And this morning, I'd love us to focus in on verses 3, 4, and 5, especially. We're going to read them together in our next slide. Could we read this together? It's good to read scripture aloud together in church. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade. This inheritance is kept in heaven for you, who through faith are shielded by God's power until the coming of the salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time. Such beautiful verses. Honestly, I wish we could just grab something of the poetry and beauty of what Peter is writing. Now, I want to ask you, if you will, to come with me on a journey. This is a very special journey. It's a very particular journey. We are going to a maternity ward. We're going to go to a delivery suite in a hospital of your choosing. And I'd just love to invite you just to take a moment to think about birth. Perhaps those of you who have children, perhaps you remember the birth of your own child. Perhaps you remember the birth of your children. Perhaps there's even someone here that would claim to remember their own birth. I'd be surprised. We have our next slide. Thank you. But as we think about the new birth, which we've been given by God in our passage for today, friends, we must remember that birth is a bloody and a messy business. The mums in the room do not need me to tell them. And the same is true of our new birth in Christ. The new birth Peter writes about is no different. It is a bloody and a messy business. But our new birth did not require a midwife. Our new birth needed a different kind of deliverer. Our new birth needed a bruised and bloodied deliverer. Jesus Christ. You see, none of us are born into a void. None of us are born into absolutely nothing. All of us are born into something. For example, we're born into a hospital, in a particular town or city or village. We're born into a home, into a particular family or community or country. And the same is true of the new birth given to us by God. This new birth sees all of us who know Jesus, who love Jesus, and who believe and trust in Jesus, born into what Peter calls a living hope. A living hope. Some of us need to remind our faces of this living hope. And we're going to unpack this living hope for a few moments now. If I was to ask you, what is this living hope that Peter writes about? What would you say? Well, in 30 seconds, turn to someone near you. What is this living hope? Over to you. Okay, it's good to hear people talking. Just shout out, what's this living hope? Anyone? Jesus. Eternal life. I mean, you can't go far wrong with Jesus and eternal life. Well, friends, in answering this question, what is this living hope? Look at the text. The answer is there in verse 4, in the very next verse. The living hope which we are born into is an inheritance. It's an inheritance. If we have our next slide. The living hope we're born into that Peter writes about is an inheritance. And this inheritance is what I'm calling this morning a 3G inheritance. And that's not a reference to the appalling mobile phone coverage that many of us experienced in Chichester. The living hope is a 3G inheritance. What do I mean by this? What is a 3G inheritance? If we have our next slide. Thanks, Andrew. The living hope we are born into is grounded in mercy, the first G. It's gained through the resurrection of Jesus Christ, and it's guaranteed for eternity. I'll say that again. The living hope we are born into is grounded in mercy, gained through the resurrection of Jesus Christ, and is guaranteed for eternity. Let's do some theology. Let's see if my years at college were wasted or not. Did you know that as Christians, as followers of Jesus, we are saved in three ways? See a few puzzled faces. To put it another way, did you know that in the kingdom of God, in God's economy, salvation takes place in three tenses? In three tenses. What is Matt talking about? What's he going on about? Well, what I mean by this is this. We have our next slide. Salvation in three tenses is this. We have been saved. We are being saved, and we will be saved. Should we say that together? We have been saved, we are being saved, and we will be saved. That is salvation, the three aspects of salvation, the three tenses of salvation. We have been saved by the death and resurrection of Jesus. We are being saved by the ongoing infilling and sanctifying work of the Holy Spirit. And we will be saved when Christ returns and wipes away every tear, and there'll be no more death and no more pain. And it's this theme of salvation which is a key theme for Peter in the opening section of his letter. Peter knew that the scattered, elect exiles, these beneficiaries of grace, were experiencing intense persecution. And if they weren't already, they would likely experience persecution. All kinds of hardship, all kinds of suffering, all kinds of grief, all kinds of evil. But what Peter demonstrates in his letter is that followers of Jesus can embrace, and this is so kind of counterintuitive, but we can embrace times of suffering as a gift. Because our suffering reminds us that our identity is in Jesus. And our suffering reminds us that only Jesus Christ himself is our hope in the midst of hardship. Peter knew that the resurrection of Jesus, this seismic and historic event with cosmic, far-reaching implications, with eternal impact, offered a hope far greater than a mere flimsy and fleeting feeling of optimism in a moment of difficulty. You can do it. YOLO. Live fast, die young. Just believe in yourself. Rubbish. Only Jesus is the hope in times of suffering. We have our next slide. Peter knew that the living hope, which, remember, is our inheritance and our birthright because of the mercy of God and because of the resurrection of Jesus, is an inheritance that's being kept, look at verse 4, being kept for us in heaven. It's not some storage unit that you're being charged an arm and a leg to keep, but you never really access. It's being kept for us in heaven. And furthermore, this inheritance can never perish, can never spoil, and can never fade. Friends, when we're in the grip of grief, when we're in the midst of hopelessness or shame or despair, we need a hope that is living. We need a hope that is alive. Not a hope that dies or gives up at the first sign of trouble. And our world needs a firm, a certain, and a lasting hope. Our friends, our family members, our loved ones, our neighbors, our colleagues who do not yet know Jesus need a firm, certain, and lasting hope. And only Jesus can offer this. That's why he said, I am the way. He's not a way. He's not one of many paths up the same mountain. He is the way, the truth, the life. Peter knew that only Jesus was hope. Do you know this? Do you know this for yourself? Have you given your yes to Jesus? Have you embraced all that he's won for you? Have you entered into this new birth, your new identity, this regeneration that takes place because of the mercy of God and the resurrection of Jesus? Do you believe in the hope of the resurrection? Now, if I was to ask all of you to give me your mobile phones, and then I was to take a hammer and smash them to pieces, and then jump up and down on them, and then set them on fire, and then drive down to West Witterings and throw them all in the sea. As well as being ever so slightly cross, maybe really cross with me, I think some of us might feel anxious, maybe distraught, perhaps even bereft. Our mobile phones are so fragile, aren't they? All the photos we keep on them, all the messages from loved ones, the notes we've made. So prone to theft. So prone to being lost. to being deleted, to being damaged at any given moment. If we have our next slide. Out of interest, just by show of hands, who here saves and stores their data to the cloud? Anyone? The cloud. I'm sure lots of us do. I'm sure lots of us back up our data to the cloud. Friends, unlike these weapons of mass distraction, the living hope that we have in Jesus is not fragile. It's not fragile. In fact, it's the opposite of fragile. It's guaranteed. It will never perish, never spoil, and never fade. This living hope, this glorious inheritance is backed up forever and ever and ever without fault, without blemish, without limit. There's no need, praise God, to pay for extra cloud storage because the price has already been paid. And it's been paid in full by the blood of Jesus. I'm so pleased that James prayed for healing as we were coming out of our sung worship. As we were singing, I felt the Lord remind me of Isaiah 53 and these beautiful verses. Surely he took up our pain and bore our suffering, yet we considered him punished by God, stricken by him and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was on him. And by his wounds, we are healed. Our inheritance, our salvation has been paid in full. And by his wounds, we are healed. Our living hope is not saved to the cloud. Rather, it's found in the Savior, Jesus Christ, who one day will return, coming on the clouds of heaven. And that's why we have hope. That's why we have hope. It's not because we need to find some amazing inner reserves of strength to get us through whatever difficulties we might face. Sheer blood, guts, and willpower and self-determination and stubbornness will only see us so far. We have hope because of Jesus. Because of all that Jesus has done for us and won for us. Without Jesus, there is no hope. Friends, today, on Easter Sunday, on Resurrection Day, despite all of the grief we may have had to suffer or may still be suffering, despite the many trials we have gone through or may still yet be to go through, let us fix our hearts, our minds, our eyes on that glorious inheritance that has been won for us and which is waiting for us. The makers of the Guinness adverts were right. Good things come to those who wait. And friends, this living hope, this glorious inheritance is the most good thing of all. And I believe that God is calling each of us, each and every one of us today, here today at Bishop Luffer School, to come alive with hope. God is calling you and you and you and every single one of us here to overflow and to come alive with hope. Why? Because we have the hope of resurrection life in the crucified Christ, in Christus Victor, who conquered the grave. in a moment as we gather to celebrate communion together, can I encourage all of us to look back. Look back to Christ's crucifixion. Remembering all that he endured for us. And then after we've looked back, can I encourage us to remember, to recall Christ's resurrection. Remembering all that he has won for us. And then finally, can I encourage us to look forward. Look ahead. Look forward to that glorious day when Christ will, not might, will come again and will wipe away every tear. For the old order of things would have passed away, and he will make every wrong thing right. And as we look ahead to that glorious day, I pray that we would remember just what a mind-blowingly awesome and wonderful inheritance is waiting for us. So I was praying earlier this morning. My sense is that there's maybe one or two here that are yet to say yes to Jesus. That you're yet to respond. You're yet to open this gift of eternal life, this living hope. Cadbury's Dairy Milk used to have an advert saying, "Unwrap joy." And as a big fan of Dairy Milk chocolate, other chocolate is available. I related very much to that advert because every time I eat Dairy Milk, it feels like I'm unwrapping joy. But in one sense, I believe that's what God would say to you. If you're here today, if you are yet to say yes to Jesus and take hold of his hand of friendship outstretched to you, his arms of love open wide to you, then why not unwrap joy today? Why not step into this glorious inheritance, this living hope which Jesus offers you? I'm going to lead us in a prayer. Before I pray, I just want to share a picture that I felt the Lord give me during worship. And my sense was that the Lord was showing me someone just walking round and round in circles on the perimeter of something. It might have even been a lake or a river, just walking round and round. And I sense the Lord say, stop skirting round the edges and jump in. Stop skirting round the edges and jump in. So I'm going to lead us in a prayer now. And if you are yet to invite Jesus into your life, if you are yet to say yes to the resurrection hope, to the living hope of Christ, then I would encourage you to pray this prayer with me. And if you have said yes already, you can always use this as a prayer of recommitment and of reconsecration. So I'd love to ask us just to bow our heads. And I'm going to lead us in this prayer, and I'll leave a pause after each line so that you can pray this for yourself and make it your own prayer too by repeating what I'm saying. Lord Jesus Christ, I am sorry for the things I have done wrong in my life. Please forgive me. I now turn from everything which I know is wrong. Thank you that you died on the cross for me. So that I could be forgiven and set free. Thank you that you offer me forgiveness. And the gift of your Holy Spirit. I now receive that gift. Please come into my life by your Holy Spirit. And be with me forever. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Amen. Amen. I'm going to encourage us to keep our heads bowed just for a moment longer and our eyes closed. And I'm going to ask you to do a brave thing. If you prayed that prayer just now for the very first time, would you just raise a hand? If you prayed that for the first time, thank you, Jesus. Thank you. I see those hands. If that's you, you've just done the most amazing and beautiful thing. Please, if that's you, if you prayed that for the first time, tell someone. Tell someone you came to church with. Tell someone who already knows and loves the Lord. You're at the start of the most amazing, wonderful adventure and journey with Jesus. Get hold of a Bible. Come to church. Read the Bible. Pray. You're not going to regret it. So friends, as I finish, could we please say the Easter greeting again? James and I are getting our money's worth out of the Church of England liturgy today. But this time, as we say these words, I pray that each of us would come alive with hope and that we would be a people filled and overflowing with hope because we are a people full of faith in the living hope. Jesus Christ, our Savior. So friends, we say together, shall we stand as we say this again? Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Hallelujah.